Jim?
Here.
Ryan?
Here.
Josie?
Here.
Paul?
Yes.
Brenda?
Here.
Bailey?
Here.
Samantha? Samantha? Tom?
Okay, thank you. So, in King Cove, we have Annie, Josie, Warren, Chris, Paul, Bailey, Brenda, Jackie, and Madam Clerk, and myself. So, Cole Bay.
Here.
I'm looking in your office. Nelson Lagoon, I don't think you're on. Falls Pass. Sandpoint.
It's just me, myself here, Jim.
Okay. Acatan. Over there. Anchorage office.
Hi, it is myself, Lenora, Ernie, Charlotte, Laura, Talia, and Jordan with the city of Sandpoint.
Okay. Thank you. So, before us, we got the agenda, and I think we have a couple of changes that we need to make. So we'd like to take Resolution 2352 and move it after public hearing and before Ordinance 2304.
Start again, Bush.
Oh, Resolution 2352 relating to the disposal of real property.
Oh, okay.
That one. We want to move that after number 8 and before number 9.
Oh.
It just needs to be before the ordinance.
Oh, so. Okay.
Or all resolutions could be put before the ordinances?
I guess.
It would make it easier, perhaps.
The 52 is related to disposal property and 53 is related
That's
to...
That's different.
Is this?
Different property.
Oh.
Well, if it's less confusing, we could move the whole work. So, we'll just move item 10 becomes after
becomes item
8. So, resolutions will just go there.
Okay.
Okay. And then we have, that's it, right? For moving things. So, anybody else see anything on the agenda that needs to be adjusted? Okay. So I need a motion to adopt the agenda as revised.
I make a motion that we adopt the agenda as advised, moving resolutions to after public hearings.
Second to Brenda.
Okay. Any objections? If not, the agenda will stand. Hearing none. Do we have any public comment at this time on any agenda items? Hearing none. Any assembly member feel they have a conflict of interest on any agenda items? Hearing none. So we're down to 5 financial report, March 2023 financials. Annie? Oh. We need a motion to bring the financials to the floor.
I'll make a motion.
Thank you.
I'll second David.
Thank you, Daly. Discussion, Annie?
Yes, Mayor, respect and assembly. In the packet are the March 2023 financials. Just one thing, I guess, to highlight is just the raw fish tax. So currently we are at a year-to-date amount of $4.2 million. That's about 112% over the five-year average, which is fantastic news. And we did receive $506,000 in March, which is about 97% of where we're normally at during the over the past 5 years. Other than that, we are tracking along on most things. There are a few that are a little higher in regards to travel and things of that nature, but that's because costs have increased since we originally put the budget together and people are traveling more. So with that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Annie. Questions for Annie? Oh, Paul?
Okay, Annie. Of course, you know, everybody knows the year-end is approaching, so I'm trying to pull it up really quick. Usually, there ends up being a surplus on revenues, and so could you summarize where we'll be at the end of June, to the best of your knowledge, on revenues?
Well,
compared to what's in the budget?
Yeah, I can't do that right off the top of my head. We will have a surplus. I just don't know what that will be. We'd have to do a comparison. That's not something I can do off these financials.
Perhaps our finance officer may have a clue. She looks at numbers a lot, perhaps. Do you have a best guess where we would be?
I've actually done a comparison. So just based off of with the known revenues that will be recorded in April, minus the entire amount of budgeted expenditures, right now we'd be looking at a $57,000 deficit. That's just looking at all of the known expenditures minus what we know we're getting in. But if we once we receive all of the expected revenue, we'll be looking at probably around $700,000 surplus at the end of the year with all of our expenditures. That's if we expend all of our expenditures.
Okay. Thank you. Go ahead. Another question. Mm-hmm. As we get money from our taxpayers, in this case, the processors, where are we with that? Is everybody on time and current? I don't know when we're supposed to. When do they pay us normally? Refresh your memory on when we get checks.
Yeah, so the three big processors pay us on the 15th for the prior month. So it's like May 15th we get April's revenue.
So the last month on the 15th, everybody's kind of up to date, everything is...
So everything in the March financials reflects the March is tax revenue we collected.
And no one's behind? Or
so sometimes the smaller processors, there's a few smaller ones.
Not those three, but the
not
others.
Those three. There's a few smaller ones that they trickle in a little bit later. But it's not, I wouldn't say it's like,
we haven't had smaller ones in a while.
Yeah.
So the best of your knowledge, everything is kind of on time. At our next meeting, which is the 18th, we'll have an update.
The June financials will not be done by then. I mean, the
but we'll know. Program. Perhaps we can have an update.
The revenue, we'll know the.
Yeah, we'll know by the meeting. It just won't be in the packet.
Maybe we can get an update on that. Just so you know, okay, we're not meeting in June. It'd be just nice to keep track. That's all. Thank you.
I had one question. It was on page 7, Department 876. The electronic monitoring, was that, I thought that was a grant, and I see that supplies, we're looking at over budget, I mean, we're looking at 220%, was that a grant that was being done through, and we just are waiting for more funds, or did that, I mean, it's not a big deal, but I was just kind of curious what.
So that is a grant that we have. I'm not exactly sure. I don't think we're getting any more money from that one. Jackie can answer, or Charlotte's on the line.
So all of the expenditures on that page, if you look at the revenue page for that grant, it's page number 5 of 17, you'll see the revenue for that grant. It's a reimbursable grant, so everything that we spend at the end of the quarter gets reimbursed, and you'll see the revenue is under R2876. And so you'll see the revenue matches the expenditures.
Okay.
Sometimes within the grants, their budgeted amount for each line item is kind of differs based on, but overall, we'll recover all of those funds.
And that's what I thought. I wasn't sure. That was just something I saw, so thanks.
Other questions? Okay. Thank you, everybody. Question on the motion.
Warren?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Bailey?
Yes.
Brady?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Samantha?
Okay, thank you. So in your packet you have the investment report for March. So if there's any questions, Paul?
Reading in the packet, the revenues that we share with communities, we won't have the full total until May 18th, it says. In the information and under proposed budget, but I see this is through. I hope I got the same one here. It's through March 31st, so we don't have April, and then today's stocks went down again. So I'm just talking out loud about what we can expect. But our revenues that we share with the other communities, which is in our budget here, I was looking. It says you won't know the amount that we're going to share until we get the final budget numbers. Is that correct?
No.
Or did I read it wrong?
No, that's how it's good enough. That's not what it meant. But we can talk about that during the budget.
Sure.
Possibly.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. we don't have anything under consent agenda. And nothing under public hearings. So we switch. We're not going to do 9, so we'll go to resolutions, which is item 10 on your agenda. So we have resolution 2351 opposing Senate Bill 128 and House Bill 180. We need a motion and a second.
Motion.
Second, Brenda.
Okay, thank you. You want to give this to Ernie? Ernie?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't think I have to explain too much because the people listening, people at the meeting are well aware of what's going on with the fisheries, but, you know, just to back up a little bit, we had a big Board of Fish meeting in March and then our real Board of Fish meeting in February, and a lot of people at the Yukon-Kuskokwim and Chignik weren't necessarily happy with the outcome, although restrictions were put on, and so there was legislation introduced in the Senate and then in the House. And there was a hearing at the Senate Judiciary on April 21st, and then not a hearing on the bill, but a hearing on Arium Fisheries just this past Friday and then Monday. And I did want to thank all the people who tried to call in to give oral testimony at the Senate Judiciary hearing, and anybody who submitted or written comments. I think that really helped. It doesn't look like either of these pieces of legislation are going to move. The legislation, the 120th day of the session is March 16th, May 16th, sorry. There's not really enough time for it to move forward, but I think the least we can do is to pass this resolution that does oppose both Senate Bill 128 and House Bill 180. because they're unwarranted and have potential to cause significant harm to the borough and the state. And it also urges the governor and the legislature to reject these bills and support the Board of Fish process. Again, did want to thank everybody who's been working with the Board of Fish process and in this legislative process. I can answer questions.
Ernie, I have a question for you. When everybody signed up for the first Judiciary Committee meeting, and they cut it off after 8 or 9 people, were they talking about coming back again for more public testimony, or do you think?
So my understanding is the public hearing portion of that bill in the Senate Judiciary is open, but it doesn't sound like they're going to have another listening session. So the public hearing,
okay,
I think, is open to written testimony. If you haven't submitted written testimony, you have that opportunity.
Yeah, and I hope people that haven't submitted any would do so.
Paul? Just following up on that, Ernie, the resolution, if it's adopted by the Assembly, that would serve as part of our written comments to the committee, I suppose.
Yeah, if this is adopted, I would expect that it would be accompanied by a letter from the mayor, and it would be sent to the governor, both the houses of the legislature, and particularly the, you know, the Fisheries Committee in the House, and the resources in the Senate and the Judiciary, and we'll just blanket them with it. But yes, it would serve as our comment, or your comment, the Assembly comment.
This one, Ben, both the House bill and the Senate bill are exactly the same.
That's correct. It would close the June fishery from June 10th to June 30th of 2023. That would leave one little set net opening from the 6th to the something. We have a public comment here in the room, if that's possible.
Go ahead.
Jordan? Good afternoon, Assembly. This is Jordan Keeler, City Administrator for Sandpoint. We will be, this a very similar piece of, will be on our meeting next Tuesday. So we do support this, and we will also submit this as well. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Jordan.
Yep.
Warren.
Ernie, how did the commissioner take all this when he heard about these senators bringing these forward? Did he testify at that hearing?
Yeah, he was invited testimony at the Senate Judiciary along with Brian Ridley, Karen Gillis, Virge Ompenhauer. And then he repeated his testimony but with a PDF presentation at the Senate Resources ARIM Fisheries hearing. I mean, and he did pretty well. He maybe made some miscues on some of his answers to questions, but, you know, the commissioner understands our situation and is not opposed to our fishery at all. So he's been there for us.
Okay, thank you. Other comments? Paul?
Yeah, I listened to the commissioner on the Judiciary Committee portion of these hearings, and he did get a factual error wrong on some of the history, and I think there'll be an opportunity to look at fish and game data and say, no, it's actually a little bit like this. He was talking about the history of past of Montaguer in particular, but his comments were, I didn't tune in quick enough to get to the Senate Resources Committee, but for his part of the testimony. But the one comment I do have, our next meeting in 10 days or so, whatever it is, I mean, it's 2 weeks or so, roughly. You know, there's some fresh action on trolling, and we may or may not want to have another resolution depending on perhaps what the other
fishing interests have to say, or the commissioner's office has to say, because I think the commissioner's office is going to weigh in on that trolling action by the court, too, I'm sure of it. And we may or may not be appropriate for us to have another resolution on that, because that's a big deal, too. But thank you.
Another comment? Go ahead.
Yeah, just to note that, you know, both of those hearings are, that you can watch and listen to the video and all the documents that were submitted for both the Senate Judiciary and Senate Resources. And I was going to mention, I listened to the Fairbanks AC Fish Subcommittee Monday night after the Senate Resources. I think they want to go now towards the Endangered Species Act, which is what is shutting down the troll fishery. So, unfortunately, probably more to come. So, just to mention that.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Call a question on a motion.
Jim?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Bailey?
Yes.
Sophie?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So before us, we have Resolution 2352 relating to the disposal of real property, authorizes a lease of Lot 2 of Port Muller Cannery Subdivision. We need a motion and a second.
I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Josie. Ernie?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I appreciate you moving the resolution before the ordinances, because ordinance to do the lease kind of depends on this resolution as part of a kind of quirk in the code. You've got to have a resolution saying you want to do it and what type of disposal you're doing. And so that's what this resolution does. Maybe a quick outline of the history of this. This is part of our municipal entitlement selections. And we went through and decided to survey some of our selections because you can't get full title or conveyance until you survey them. So in 2016, the Assembly dedicated some of their budget to these surveys. 17 Port Muller lands, about 1,200 acres, were surveyed as part of Alaska State Land Survey 2016-49. And at the same time, this plat, which is attached after the ordinance, for a cannery subdivision creating lots 1, 2, 3, and 4, that was surveyed in 2018. They finished the state land survey, and we actually proceeded to sell lots 1 and 4 to Peter Pan Seafoods, and the resolutions for that was Resolution 1840, and the ordinances were 1901 and 1902. And then in 2018, we did the Sandy River lands, which was about 2,400 acres, and in Bear Lake we did in 2019. And then we stopped doing those surveys. We just did the lands that were close to Commerce. Anyway, before we even did this survey, I was approached many years ago, I guess, by these gentlemen, mainly J.W. Smith, who has been working with Connor Murphy and Robert Murphy. And recently, Connor Murphy is the one that reached out and said he wants to be by the book. And it kind of spurred me on to say, well, we probably need to do that. They've been on this land and have a building on this land for a long time. And so we wanted to move forward and talking to Annie, she was great help on this, and Joe Levesque, we looked at, I mean, you could possibly sell a lot, but we're not looking at that, but the special land use permit, which I didn't know about, is in there. So if you didn't want to do this, you could do a special land use permit. It just needs Assembly approval, and then the mayor can do it, but it's only for a year. This the term on this lease would be dependent on what the mayor does, but that's beyond the scope of this resolution. This resolution just sets it up to a It says you do what you think you need to dispose of this land, and that would be by lease. And then we would move forward to the ordinance later on. And that's what I have.
Okay, thanks, Ernie. Questions for Ernie?
Paul? I believe this is commonly known as Chris Fanning's original site, or it isn't? Okay, and then...
It's in between the dump and the...
Well, then, Ernie, on your map, it shows two chunks of land. Explain why it's there's two different chunks.
So we'd had that plat. It made one lots 1, 2, 3, and 4. Lots 1 and 4, lot 1 is right next to Peter Pan's land, and then lot 4 is where the landfill is. So that leaves lot 2, which is 1 acre, which is what we're talking about disposing, and then lot 4 was the one that was Chris Fanning's. And because there was buildings on it, we decided to go ahead and survey that out as a separate lot. So this is just one lot, as Assembly Member Wilson said, it's between Peter Pan and the landfill.
Okay, just to clarify, I'm looking at the map in front of me, and there's one lot to the north, I guess is what you're referring to, north of the cannery, and the other one's toward the tip of the spit, and that one is not up for either resolution or ordinance, just the north 1 acre. Is that correct?
Correct. Lot 2.
Okay. And then I guess one more question. Is how many total set nets are in Fort Motor Bike lately?
It'll be Connor and his dad, I think, now. Bob Murphy. He's going up there to do some fishing next summer. And then Jason is the crew member on a boat. So they've been partners in the cabin for before we surveyed the land. So they want to do this by the book to get a lease on it or to buy it.
And I don't mind one quick follow-up. So if this resolution passes, the ordinance would still have to pass, and this is just the first reading of the ordinance.
Correct.
And there could be public comment on the second reading. When do you anticipate we would have the second reading?
Thank you, Paul. I hope that we can have the second reading at the next meeting, which is May 18th, so that we can get this squared away before the summer season. But, I mean, it's up to the Assembly.
It'll be on the 18th agenda.
So that lot, is that where they have the fishing game building?
No. No, it's there's a little lagoon there you see.
And
dump. It's actually kind of in between the lagoon and the dump.
Oh, okay.
And it's just a little, just, I guess, 1 acre there. And it's that locked landfill is going towards the airport.
Right.
So that, you know that part. And it's in between the... Yeah. Between the... dump and of course, the Bob Murphy.
It's inland. More than
they even have. They had a cabin on there for a lot of years. Connor's been living in there in the summertime when he does his that operation, and then now his dad's going to come on fishing, I guess. And they got some plans of like fish out of Fort Bonner on Lake Clark here to get fresh fish to Cody.
Oh my.
Okay, other comments on this resolution? Hearing none, question?
Yes.
Yes.
Paul? Yes.
Sophie?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
James?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So before us, we have Resolution 2353 relating to disposal of surplus, obsolete, or unneeded supplies. We need a motion and a second to bring it to the floor.
I'll make a motion to bring it to the floor.
Thank you, Darlene.
Second.
Thanks, Brenda. Annie?
Glenora, did you want to explain this one?
So Resolution 2353 is relating to surplus, obsolete, or unneeded supplies. The borough has two Yamaha outboards in Accutan that we no longer need. And in the code, it says that supplies may be sold or disposed of upon approval by the assembly by resolution. The borough purchased two new outboards for the skiff we own down in Accutan this year. So the ones that we had are no longer needed. And we would like to advertise them to the public to bid on. And that's all I have to say. Questions, let me know.
Okay. Thank you, Glenora. Questions? Daily?
What size motors? Like what?
115 horse apiece.
That's a...
Other question?
That's what I
meant
to say. Thank you.
Okay. Question on the motion?
Josie?
Yes.
Daily?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Grace?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
James?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Can I add something to this real quick? It's just a statement, I guess.
Oh.
I think it's something done.
Yes, they were.
Yeah.
They were dumping them on my say-so.
Oh, okay. I know. That's where I've seen them for them.
Yeah, well, because people asked to want to bid on them, but I didn't think they were worth bidding on myself.
Yeah.
So, put for parts, I guess, are good.
Yeah.
Okay.
It proved we could fix one.
Maybe. Okay, so before us, we have Resolution 2354 authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute an agreement with MCCI in the amount not to exceed $25,000. We need a motion and a second to bring it to the floor.
I make a motion.
Thank you, Chris.
I'll second.
Thank you, Josie. Who wants this one? Beverly. You need a...
Thank you, Mayor. Officer Bach and Assembly. So Resolution 2353 is authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute an agreement with MCCI in amount not to exceed $25,000. The retention schedule is an item on the strategic plan. Recently, it has been identified that our Laserfish software is outdated and needs to be upgraded. This will allow the borough to be more efficient in regarding retention management. The borough's current Laserfish provider is MCCI. On March 1st, 2023, the borough clerk and deputy clerk met with MCCI for a demonstration. During the meeting, MCCI explained how the upgraded Laserfish software can make internal policies and procedures more efficient along with the records retention. So MCCI submitted a quote for upgrading our software totaling to $23,185. This includes the following: a one-time cost of $15,200, which consists of licensing platform and version upgrade, installation and configuration, web products installation and configuration, basic remote administrator training, and implementation management. An annual fee of $7,985 for the subscription and software support. The Clerk's Department is requesting the Assembly to authorize the payment in an amount not to exceed $25,000 for the total software licensing, training, setup, conversion, and some of the annual subscription and support costs. So if approved, this will be charged to the Permanent Fund Contingency Line Item E20-220-601-888. Therefore, Administration recommends approving Resolution 2353, authorizing the Mayor to negotiate and execute an agreement with MCCI in an amount not to exceed $25,000. If you have any questions, please let me know.
Thank you. Questions for Beverly?
So okay. are we like on this software now, or
we are already on this software, and we are actually paying an annual about $1,700. Yeah, but when I talked to them, they said that the software is really outdated. I think the last update was 2014, so it's almost 9 years. And it's really obsolete. They don't even do the support anymore because ours is version 7 and they're already on version 11, which is, yeah, totally outdated. So this will really streamline our main goal of having a centralized retention management, because this will allow all the offices to have an access to one spot where we can, you know, digitally file everything rather than separate, and yeah, it will make a lot easier for everyone.
This includes financial or
we can
everything?
Yeah.
Didn't we just do, like, a couple of years ago, we did some financial software upgrade?
That's different. That's the Castell, and that's the actual financial system.
Okay.
This is more just for retention purposes, and finance can go in there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just overarching would make it a lot easier for everybody. Right now it's really hard.
Yeah, because you have to go through so many different channels to get to one point.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, that sounds pretty good. Thank you.
This says if we adopt this, the annual fee will be $7,985 a year. What is it now?
About $1,700.
So it's like six times higher?
But imagine,
times,
the nine,
four times
nine
higher.
Years difference of not upgrading it. And this platform, before, the one that we have, we only have two offices that can access it, finance and the clerk. But with this one, we are going to be able to access it through web. We can use a cell phone, mobile phone, and desktop as well. So even if you're traveling, as long as you have internet, you're going to be able to access if you need files or if you need to save files on, you know, it will just go straight to that one centralized.
So how does this work? Do you give them this outfit the files, and they know?
They will work with our ICE services to do the installation, everything security wise as well, and then we'll, from there we can transfer the files, our old files, and start scanning the ones that we haven't really.
So what format does it scan them into?
We can scan PDF, everything,
okay.
Picture, yeah. It can host a lot of, like,
okay.
A lot of.
And then where is all this stored then? Is it stored on?
It's going to be stored in our local server.
Okay.
So it's still going to be in our local server,
okay.
But the difference is we can access it through web client,
okay.
As well. So that's pretty
okay.
Cool.
Alex? Paul?
So if we adopt this resolution, is it enough in our existing budget? Is it out of the clerk's department, or where is it?
It'll come out of the project contingency line item.
Out of where?
Project contingency line item, Fund 20. There's a line item there, and that'll come out of that. For this
and there's money already there in this year's budget, or would it be next year's budget?
This year. There's money in there.
This year's budget.
Yep, because we'll pay it for it in this fiscal year. So it'll be paid out of FY23.
The resolution, this is something that, I mean, we'd like to get done because it is in our strategic plan.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it truly will make our lives easier.
Yeah.
Trying to find files and trying to store files. I send them to Beverly, to Jackie. They're all over the place. And it would be nice to have one location because we have all those that we put all the boxes.
Oh, okay.
You can't find anything.
Okay.
In a timely fashion.
And it's important, and it costs money nowadays.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I know how important that is. I utilize that all the time. Discuss that.
And just one final question is, did you mention about the hardware? Are we getting new hardware with that?
There's no an actual hardware. They're just going to install it on our server. Yeah, okay. It's going to happen.
And this is the one you just went to training on, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
How long does it take to do a document?
I'm guessing probably the installation and everything that's associated with making sure the security is in line with ours, and probably 2 to 4 months. And then the tedious one is actually scanning all the files that we have in each location and storing it in.
That's what I'm saying. How long does it take to if you scan a document?
Instant. When you scan it, you can actually just put it
and
there.
It's just
right
like a regular scanner. It looks like okay.
Yeah.
Other questions? Okay.
Thank you. I remember years ago with microfish.
I remember that.
Yes.
Question on a motion.
Brenda?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So now we're going to go to ordinances, item 9. So before us we have ordinance 2304 authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a lease of lot 2. Port Moore Cannery subdivision, so we need a motion to bring this to the floor and schedule for public hearing.
I make a motion that we bring ordinance 2304 to the floor.
I'll second.
Okay, thank you. Ernie.
Yeah, okay, there we go. So we just talked about this. This is the same piece of property we're talking about. Particular ordinance would do two things. It would set up some minimum conditions for a lease, and then it would authorize the mayor to negotiate and execute a lease with these gentlemen that were mentioned previously. It refers to this plat of Port Moeller Cannery subdivision as the exhibit, and if approved today, it would go on to a public hearing at the May 18th meeting. And I would mention that if we did lease this lot, it would certainly give these gentlemen an opportunity to continue their fisheries business. It would remove the borough liability of any liability, and then produce a little bit of income for the borough. So that's all I have at this point, but I can take questions.
Thank you. Any questions for Ernie? Paul?
The set net leases, which this is a set net site, I guess, to the state, they don't ever lease land. They only lease some shoreline out from the high water. I'm not sure if it's high water or low water, but it's nothing to do with land. So I guess the question is, do they have a valid lease with the state for this site?
Well, I didn't investigate that thoroughly. I can find out by the next meeting. I honestly don't know of any set-net leases there.
Ernie, I think from our discussion earlier on the resolution, this isn't actually shoreside land. It's uplands land that they're leasing with a cabin on that provides them a place to stay in whatever while they're operating their set-net site. So one doesn't have anything to do with the other one.
Three sites in Port Moeller, it's right inside the cannery there by the mess hall. There's a spot there, and then he goes sometimes out on the point very seldom, where Chris Manning used to be.
Yeah.
Then they'll fish up in the bay if the weather permits. It's just like northwest too much they want. During southeast, he'll go to that site over there to fish. But I don't know if he has a site. I know his registered site probably right next to the cannery. That's where he kind of grew up right there, the young man, Connor.
There was one on the barge. There's a barge.
That's the one. Yeah.
Okay.
So really one doesn't have anything to do with the other one.
And just one final comment. I don't really have a big problem with this, but
It seems like there, but there is just not quite enough time between first reading and second reading, as it's scheduled now, to have adequate public hearing. And I don't think it would, if we could move the second reading to our meeting after, you know, because there are people who will never get a chance to read this before we actually have in 10 days or 12 days or.
So do you know of people that are objecting to this or something?
We won't know until they...
No, I mean now, do you have...
I don't have anybody that I know of. But I don't have anybody I know in favor of it either.
Yeah.
Just nobody knows about it. I didn't know much about
Unless the Assembly stops me, I'm going to schedule it for the 18th. It just needs to be done. It's...
If we had opposition to this right now, they'd be here, because there was a couple, like, fanning spot over there. We had a fight over that one. But we didn't have to do anything with the borough one, but they did. If there was any opposition to it, they would be, like, these three gentlemen here were holding this cabin there for years and years now before the borough even subdivided it. And they just want to be legal in having their cabin on land that they're leasing or able to own. And it's not taken away from the cannery. Like, okay, if the cabin was right in the middle of the road or something, Peter Pan will be here. We can't get to the airport.
Yeah,
there's something weird out there.
Well, the other thing, it doesn't have anything to do with a shore lease. Totally separate.
Yeah.
So people got to go to the state to get their shore leases. And this is upland, so it doesn't affect anything where somebody's fishing. It's basically a cabin that they've been using for a long, long time.
And are we going to do that at least 3 months of the year only, or
no,
the whole year?
No.
Annually?
Well, I doubt if we'll do it annually. We've got some other leases over there. We'll just look at those as to how long it is. But it wouldn't make any sense to do it on a short term, as far as I could see. But it'll come back again at the next meeting. But yeah, I don't see where there's an issue with it myself. And I've fished over there a long time, and I knew the guys that had those places, so. Other comments?
Just one quick one. Ernie, you mentioned a cost or income for the borough. What? Just refresh our memory on what that is, without looking through my phone again, how much money the borough will make off this, if it's past the second reading and everybody approves of it.
Well, thank you, Member Grunholt, for the question. It would depend on what the mayor negotiates. I did include, you know, some comparable leases at the Cold Bay Airport, which maybe are not comparable, but that's, we got to go with fair market value. So, you know, maybe $1,000 a year on a lease. But also, I mean, Connor actually contacted me wanting to know what he would need to do about fish tax, and he just wants to go by the book. And so I think helping this little fisheries business along is advantageous to the borough. I would mention also all three of these gentlemen were at the February Board of Fish meeting supporting us. And there was one other thing I was going to mention, but it slipped my mind. But, you know, minimal amount of income to the borough, but some. And we probably need to broaden our horizons as far as income.
So grandfathering in is probably out of the question. Like, they've been there already before the borough got the property.
Could be a thought.
Yeah. I don't think we'd have to. I mean, we could just... They just want to follow the rules that everybody else is doing, and I think that's what we should do. It kind of helps clean up the acreage on that side. You know, over time, we've done different leases and sales and whatever as these people are developing over there, but it's not like it's a mad rush to a land thing over there. So I think helping people out and making it more responsible and in line with all the other properties that we're doing over there, it's something we should just do. Other questions? If not, call the motion to schedule.
Josie? Yes. James?
Yes.
Yes.
Wyatt?
Yes.
Wall?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. So before us, we have Ordinance 2305, amending Title 1, Chapter 1.20, Section 1.20.3030B3 and 1.20.100, Title 2, Section 2.08.010B2.12.030A and B3. 2.2040 and 2.20.050 of the Aleutians East Borough Court of Code of Ordinances. We need a motion to bring to the floor.
I'll make that motion. Call that number. I didn't get a
Do we have a second?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
thank you. Annie.
So Glenora is going to actually speak on this.
Hello, thank you. Ordinance 2305 would amend sections in both Title 1 and 2 of the Borough Code of Ordinances. The Borough adopted a Municipal Code of Ordinances, one formed in 1987, and the Borough desires to amend the code to be internally consistent to correct grammar and typo errors and to comply with the Alaska law and the Borough's procedures. Section 1.04 of the code says that an amendment can be made by the act of the assembly. Administration works with the attorneys to upgrade the titles, and the suggested changes are on the next page. There's a small chart there. Some of the changes outlined are timeline based on when items need to be handed into the clerk. For when we have meetings and when the public needs to be notified. Some other changes is in the wording from days to hours. Some sections in titles 1 and 2 say 48 days and other parts say 2 days, so we want to change that so it's more consistent. There's also an attached memo from the law office going into great detail about all of the proposed changes. Administration recommends approval of this ordinance, and if you have any questions, please let us know.
Okay. Thank you, Lenora. Questions? Okay. Oh, Paul?
Yes, thank you. I was reading Joel Levesque's memo, which concerns this, I guess, and I frankly have not enough time to quite figure it out. I read through it, and there's quite a few changes, and I don't have a big problem moving it to the first reading, but I would respectfully request maybe at a July meeting for a second reading, because I would, at least speaking only for myself, I'd like to sit down and look at it and then compare where we're at. And it's quite a bit of changes into how we do our meetings, and I know your memo says it's for good reason, complying with state law, I understand all that, but anyway, those are just a quick summary of my comments. Thank you.
Okay. Other comments? Hearing none. Question?
So when are we scheduling it?
Scheduling it? Does anybody have any problem with scheduling it for the 18th? I mean, you have 2 weeks to go through this thing.
Right.
And it's basically clarifying and, you know, it's like everything else we've been doing over the years is going through all of the.
It didn't look like there was really any major changes. It was more like housekeeping.
Yeah.
You know, trying to conform with,
To make it all the same.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Well, I just would like to point out most of my two cents on all the ordinances we've been adopting, changing what the original ordinances were. They've all ended up with the administration getting a lot more authority than the assembly has. And I thought we should be reversing it. I don't know how this one stacks up because I haven't had a chance to look at it thoroughly. And that's all. Thank you.
Annie, you have a comment?
So just to point out, there really aren't that many changes other than what Lenore stated on changing days to hours or hours to days, because when we were trying to read this and trying to figure things out, it was really confusing from an administrative standpoint. We're like, we don't understand what we're supposed to do. So we asked Levesque's office to go through it to make it more streamlined so it's easier to understand just from reading it. And a few of the things in here just are things that aren't practiced. For instance, on one of the sections, it said we would have 5 public hearings on an ordinance. We don't do that, and that's not feasible to do that. And so that got changed to actually meet what's been practiced for years and years and years. I mean, pre-me, that's what we hadn't done, 5 public hearings.
5 public
hearings. It was something like 5 public hearings, and we're like, really? We're supposed to do that? So that stuff got cleaned up, because that's not what we actually practice.
Right.
But really, a lot of this is a lot more clerical, with a few items that do more bring us in line with state statute. Is that correct summary, Lenore? Yes. Is that a correct summary, Lenore?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
And reading through this, and the areas in red are the ones you're going to change, right?
Mm-hmm.
So reading through this, and I don't see anything where it gives the borough any additional authority. The changing from assemblymen and to assembly and to borough clerk instead of a lower rate case clerk. And instead of assemblymen, it's assembly, and then the mayor and the borough administrator. So just changing and clearing up the actual name with a capital, correct spelling and capitalization. That's all I see through there. Doesn't give any additional authority to anybody that I could see, and I've read through it quite a few times.
Well, the other thing, too, if there's some questions about it, we could try and see if we can get Joe or somebody out of his law firm at the next meeting to go through and explain if people have a problem with anything that's in it. But I don't think any of this is designed to take power away from the assembly, because I've always said, basically, you guys were elected and you are the assembly, so we basically do what you say. We might put in the bottom that this is recommended by the administration, but you're the ones that vote.
Yeah, you guys write it, we vote on it.
Yeah.
If you don't agree to that, that's when you got to take that up. So
anyway, any other comments on this one? Okay. So the ordinance with all the little numbers in it, you want to call the question on it?
Yeah.
Yes.
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 Paul?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So before us, we have Ordinance 2306 adopting the operating and capital budget for the Aleutians East Borough fiscal year. We need a motion and a second to bring it to the floor.
And that should read fiscal year for FY24.
Oh.
On the agenda.
I make a motion that we bring Ordinance 2306 adopting the operating and capital budget for fiscal year 24 to the floor. Discussion.
I'll second.
Okay, thank you. You have this one.
I'll take this one. All right. So before you is all the information for the 2024 budget. In the packet, you should have an agenda statement that is quite long that explains everything in as much detail as we could provide you. There's a consumer price index document, permanent fund, earning appropriation document, FY24 community budget request information, and then the ordinance itself, and then an Excel spreadsheet that has the budget. Now, on this Excel spreadsheet, anything in green shows an increase, and anything in red shows a decrease. So what I will be referring to first is the agenda statement as well as the Excel spreadsheet. So like I said before, you the draft of the FY24 budget. We're introducing it today, May 3rd, with the second public hearing hopefully scheduled for May 18th. We conducted a very in-depth review of the borough's anticipated revenues and expenditures and is recommending a relatively conservative budget for FY24. An overview of what we discussed and what we considered is here in the agenda statement, but we did look at the state of Alaska budget, which in mid-December, Governor Dunleavy proposed his FY24 budget in this, which he highlights the effect of the borough with full funding of school bond debt reimbursement, which is about $678,000, full funding of the harbor bond debt reimbursement, which for the False Pass Harbor and the Actan Harbor would total $420,000. There was full funding of K-12 funding, but no additional money. As you know, they're still talking about the base student allocation, and that conversation is still ongoing. And there was community assistance, which was at $316,000, and full funding of the state raw fish tax sharing within municipalities. So that was what was introduced in mid-December of 2022. On April 17, 2023, the House approved its version of the FY2023 budget. It called for a $2,700 permanent fund, an increase of one-time funding for K-12. It also included the school bond debt and harbor bond debt for FY24, full funding of K-12 funding, but no additional funding, PCE payments for the communities, community assistance, full funding for state raw fish tax as well, plus a couple other things in relation to the marine highway system and PERS and TERS. So this measure now goes to the Senate. The Senate Finance Committee released an initial draft version of the operating budget and took public testimony on the budget when I wrote this during the week of April 25th. There's still plenty that can change between now and when this budget is finalized. So what we are recommending and what our state lobbyist is recommending is that we include 50% of the school bond debt and 0% for the harbor bond debt. Those are two easy items that the state can take out, and they have taken them out in the past. So as of right now, we're not recommending putting more in there. We're also recommending the full funding for community assistance because I do foresee that passing for sure. So that's kind of an overview of the state and where we're looking at there. Other items we looked at was the fisheries, administration, the mayor, and the Natural Resources Department have met, and we've gone through a very thorough analysis of what we see for fishery trends, environmental uncertainty, and potential fishery management actions. In January 2023, the Assembly did approve an ordinance which revised the existing FY23 budget from $3.5 million to $4 million. As of March 2023, our fixed fish tax revenue is at 4.2, which exceeded what we anticipated in FY23. This year, after the analysis that we conducted, we are recommending that we have a $4 million in fish tax revenue appropriated for FY24. And just note that the borough's fish tax is calculated as 2% of the amount of raw seafood delivered to processors in borough ports multiplied by the X vessel price per pound for each species. That's how we determine your fish tax revenue.
I just had a quick question. That is, as you're going through this, when would be appropriate time to make a comment as you're going through specific items?
Why don't you ask them now?
Okay, well, on this particular item, I just heard today that one of the processors next couple months in Bristol Bay is putting their fishermen on limit, and they are not going to export any fish to our region. And I haven't been able to independently confirm that. But that was a kind of a big chunk of revenue, and I don't know how that's included. And the other two processors, I'm not sure. I haven't heard anything about what they're doing, but that will affect our revenue. But how much would you think if they didn't export some of that Bristol Bay fish? It was quite a bit last year. It did, you know, it's high-value species, so it adds quite a bit of money to our revenue. So anyway, it's probably going to be a little less, because of that.
I have a question on that, too. So if I'm fishing in Bristol Bay and there's a Peter Pan tender there, let's say, or a Trident tender, and I offload to them, but you're inside the borough boundaries in the Bristol Bay borough, that fish tax goes to Bristol Bay. It doesn't go to us.
Well, that's just that NACTIC section, little section there.
First Labor was only that knack-knack. It's just a little.
Well, and then there's Lincoln Penn. So, I mean, if you're delivering inside their borough, that's not our tax money anyway, right?
No.
Am I reading it right? I think so.
Charlotte, Ernie, do you have a comment on that?
Yeah, we're discussing that right now. So I guess to first answer Paul's question, I mean, we haven't heard that. I think we could possibly do an analysis light to maybe think about those numbers, but off the top of our heads, I don't think we could give you a great number for that. And then to answer Alvin's questions, we're looking at that right now. I had a few calls about that earlier today, and so I think we'll have an answer for you pretty quickly, but I think we need to talk to legal counsel just to verify.
Okay. So, Charlotte, so the question that Paul had then and the question that I have, I think so long as we have on paper some answers, as we go through all these questions too, as we move through the budget, if we could have them answers for the meeting on the 18th, that's when we would need them anyway. So if we can't answer them now.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. We can do that.
Okay.
Can you write those questions down on your guys' end, please?
Yeah, on it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you know which processor?
Who was it?
I don't know. Well, you
know. I don't like making assumptions on things that are...
I can't believe that.
I guess conversation we could have another time or something, but if you were a fisherman up there and you got put on limit and say two other companies show up that buy fish in this area, would you keep fishing and deliver to them, or would you go, no, I'm sorry, I got to quit fishing? I don't know. You know
they're already announcing a limit? That means they're not going to have as many tenders anymore. So it was all, like, everybody follows suit, and then we know what happened with last year's pack. It got kind of, got rolled around a little bit too much by the time it got down to this side, ended up in this one. So some of the fish were kind of degraded pretty bad, so we're all paying the price for that right now. And this year was right now.
I think it'd be interesting to see.
But when they bring fish down from up there, if they value that, and then we get money off that.
Okay.
So we'll have look into these questions and answers for you for the next packet deadline, which is next week. So outside of fishery considerations, we also did department budgets. Every single department has looked at their budget. We've made adjustments accordingly to what we anticipate our needs to be for FY24. The salaries in here did take, we included a 5% cost of living adjustment. Please note the consumer price index for urban Alaska, which includes Anchorage and the Valley, Matsu area, for the preceding fiscal year is 8.1%, which is as shown on the attached document. According to our handbook, the Assembly may, at its discretion, authorize annual cost of living adjustments for regular employees in an amount not to exceed the consumer price index for urban Alaska as computed for the preceding fiscal year. So that means that you can do the full 8.1% or anything less than that at this time. Administration's recommending 5%. And that's included in all the numbers here. So with that 5%, that is an increase in salaries of $43,900 approximately. If that you'd like to change that COLA rate, that will need to be made by an amendment. Fringe has also been adjusted. We've contacted our health insurance brokers, and they are currently seeing an 11 to 12% increase in health insurance costs across the board. Therefore, administration is proposing a 12% increase in health care benefits in FY24. Therefore, there's a flat 12% increase across the board for everyone, and that includes the Assembly as well. And fringe benefits for Medicare, ESC, which is workers' comp, PERS, and will just slightly go up a little bit, but nothing significant. So just the biggest change in that line item will be healthcare. Next, we did education support. The borough, we contacted the school district and worked with Dave Nielsen and the superintendent as well. Because Dave Nielsen, and I'm quoting, said because the state legislature, for the first time since about 2016, is actually having a serious conversation about increasing the BSA for next year, an optimistic increase to the BSA has been utilized in the budget proposal. Therefore, the borough's historical contribution amount of $800,000 has been incorporated in the FY24 school district budget proposal at this time. He continues that, granted, assumptions have been based on what is known at this time of budget development, so who really knows if the state legislature and governor will actually increase the BSA, and if they do, to what extent. Notwithstanding, decisions have to be made on what is known, what is assumed, and perhaps what is hoped for. That being said, should the legislature fail to improve the BSA amount in a very significant long overdue fashion, it may become necessary for the school district to request an additional amount over and above the anticipated $800,000. And I can tell you the school district did forward their budget to us, I think, yesterday, and it did include the $800,000 in their budget. So that is what the school district passed.
Just to clarify that item here, but if BSA increases, we could be asked for more.
So basically, I think it's meant to say if the BSA does not increase, they will come back and ask us for more. So they're waiting for the state to increase the base student allocation. If that does not happen, then they may come back and ask us for more money later. And when they do at that time, we can make the budget amendment.
It's more of a tentative budget they sent us.
It's their final. What they sent us is their final budget of what they have.
But they don't know the BSA.
They don't, but they're making assumptions just like we have to, that the BSA will increase and that the $800,000 will be sufficient. And that's what they passed.
And of course, if there's a special session, if they don't pass a budget by the time our second reading is, we won't. We'll still be speculating, I suppose.
Yep. And we can change it later.
The last one I seen the other day, I think one of the senators or something talking about $650 or something in the BSA. If I remember right.
Yeah. I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't we give them $900,000?
Last year we gave them more. Yeah. This year he says that they don't need that at the point. So with that, it kind of goes over some other things. They're also facing inflationary pressures as well. Just everything's costing more, staffing, insurance, operational costs, et cetera. But at this point, what they're requesting is the $800,000. So what administration is recommending is that we do $800,000 in the local school contributions, $35,000 in school scholarships, and $20,000 in school or student travel. So that would be a total of $855,000 for the school district contribution. Any questions on that? Okay. So next we looked at Fund 20. Fund 20 currently outlines grants from outside entities. That includes the state of Alaska, NOAA, and other entities that we get grants from. It also has capital projects funded from non-grant and borough sources, so this includes the Trident contribution to the Actan Airport, hovercraft sales proceeds, designations, et cetera. And then finally, it also shows the borough permanent fund earning appropriated projects. In FY24, the ordinance includes the designation of the permanent fund balance and shows the unspent appropriated funds for FY17 to FY23. Approved expenditures through April 30th of 2023. That's the last set of data we have. I can't update it until basically the end of the fiscal year at this point. The appropriated, it also shows the appropriated permanent fund earnings for FY24 and the appropriated transfer, if any, to the general fund to cover the FY24 budget deficit. And at this point, we don't have a deficit, so that's not necessary. When the assembly votes to utilize the permanent fund monies for specific projects, that is a designation a part of the permanent fund. Sometimes the borough doesn't spend all the monies that were designated in one fiscal year. In fact, sometimes that is the intent, to designate part of the permanent fund monies for long-term or future projects. Therefore, when the borough doesn't spend all the designated amounts in one year, the borough still has to show the intent of the assembly to spend those permanent fund monies on those specific projects. The correct way to do this is through a designation of permanent fund balance as shown in the budget ordinance. By designating the funds in the fund balance, they are now spoken for and cannot be spent on something else or utilized any differently unless action by the assembly. So this is just really major housekeeping for us to make sure we're doing it properly and that it's accounted for correctly.
Yeah. And this budget on permanent fund, to have a balanced budget, which you're proposing a balanced budget, how much of that is from the permanent fund?
So the what you have here doesn't show Fund 20. So this Excel spreadsheet actually does not show Fund 20, correct?
Okay.
That's correct. Fund 20 is kind of...
not an operational plan.
Yes, not.
And we don't do basic operations.
Pardon?
They're like special projects or things that aren't day-to-day operations. Like, we don't have to pass the budget for them because they could be grants that we receive mid-year. We'll put them in Fund 20. We don't have to budget for them. You get the budget as you get the grant. Or also has the permanent fund in it, which we designate those funds, and we don't have to go back year to year. That just keeps adding to it every year, so you can account for them in that fund without having to reset your budget for it.
And that is shown in the ordinance.
So why it doesn't show in your
yeah.
Excel sheet? Because it's not operational.
So if I may ask this a slightly different way, this budget then that's before us that we're adopting, there's no reference to the permanent fund, no spending.
So it's not shown here in the Excel spreadsheet. It is shown in the ordinance. So if you pull the ordinance up, there is a section at the bottom that, let me get to it. Sorry, this is so long. So if you go look at the ordinance,
which page helps out?
The third page of the ordinance.
Pardon?
The third page of the ordinance.
It's 5, 4.
Not of that, of the ordinance.
Oh, okay.
It's on the last page. It says designation of permanent fund balance, and that's where it's shown.
Page 3.
So at the very top, designation of permanent fund balance. This is, as I said, through April 30th, 2023. So that's the last bit of data we have. And it shows the balance as of our last audit for FY22, which was $48,442,000. Shows anything that's been unspent for our permanent fund appropriations from FY17 to FY23, was $6,324,000. And then it has the appropriated funds for FY24, which is the 1.788 shown here. So then it shows our current fund balance, and that's what you're approving in the budget. It's just not shown on this. You see it in the financials, but it's not shown here.
So if I could follow up on that particular point, so if our actual fund balance today is $42 million or so, I think I'm pretty close, what does that, how does that affect this amount? Is the actual balance not a You just picked a number here from that audit, you said.
Right, that's the last data we have. The official data we have is off the last audit.
So if we're several million under that, does that mean this budget is higher or lower? Just clarify.
And remember, you're doing it on a five-year average.
Yes,
I understand that.
And we don't go by the numbers as it is today because those aren't documented. And because the market fluctuates so much, like you're going to have gains and losses in a month that could be a couple hundred thousand back and forth. You could lose 200,000 in 1 month and gain it all back twice that in the next month just based on the market. So you have to go based off of those numbers that are audited. Like that's your balance. That's the documented number that this is what your account was at, so that's what you're using in your five-year average. So because the market's so volatile and goes back and forth, you can't really pick a number and say, well, here's our balance of today of 50, because next month it could be 42 again.
And so we're about a year behind because of the audit is done.
Yeah.
We're about a year behind then.
Yeah, that's our baseline. That's the last bit of actual data we have. So right now, this ordinance does appropriate $1,788,334.18 for the FY24 designated projects. That is the permanent fund earnings based off the five-year average. A resolution will be presented at the May 18th meeting to approve that, just so it's documented. So that's what we've got here for Fund 20. If you go to the next page, page 6, this is just the proposed FY24 budget summary. It says followed, our expected, and I'm going to round numbers here, but our expected FY24 revenue is $7.525 million. Expected FY24 expenditures for our funds in our general fund, in Fund 24, Fund 40, and Fund 41 is $4.41 million, which leaves us a net revenue over expenditures of $3.084 million. We do have to transfer in from the helicopter. We're making a profit off the terminal operation of about $42,000, and then we have to transfer out to the helicopter operations because we're subsidizing it at about $863,000. For our bond fund, we did do some things here a little bit differently. We actually are reflecting them now in Fund 30 rather than in the revenues, because it's not technically a revenue. This is a reimbursement back for something we've already spent. So we moved it to Fund 30, which is the appropriate location for that. We are showing a transfer out to the bond fund of $2.19 million there, and then a transfer in from the permanent fund at zero. We have a surplus this time. We don't need to transfer any money in. So what we're anticipating this year is an FY24 surplus of $72,670, which is exciting. So I can tell you over the last 5 years, I have not been able to tell you I have a surplus, gone in with a deficit. So once again, this does assume 50% in school bond debt reimbursement, 0% for harbor bond debt reimbursement, a 5% cost of living increase for employees, and funding education at $855,000. The next pages, if you go through, actually shows every fund in detail with comments off to the right. The general fund, it's got the projected revenues for FY24 and the adjustments that have been made. So for instance, the interest income in FY23, we anticipated that being $15,000. This year, however, we have increased that by $485,000 to $500,000 because this is where we are getting interest revenue from our AMLIF accounts and the operating trust funds, and we're now reflecting this properly. So we do anticipate making quite a bit of interest in the current market off of this upcoming fiscal year. Rockfish tax stayed the same at $4 million. Other revenue increased slightly. This includes revenues for the fourplex, permitting fees, Thailand leases, and any other leases that we do have with entities. Shared fish tax, and this is the state shared raw fish tax, we anticipate that decreasing slightly to be in more line with the five-year average. It still is unclear if the state will fund a full amount in FY24, so we're decreasing that slightly. And then shared fish tax FMA 2 and FMA 3, those will stay the same as last year. As I mentioned earlier, harbor bond and school bond debt reimbursement has been moved from Fund 01, and it has been moved to Fund 30, which is the bond fund. This is not a revenue. This is a reimbursement for expenses that we have already made out of Fund 30, so it needs to be moved to the proper department. And then the other line items will remain the same. That's community assistance, payment in lieu of taxes, which is PILT, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Refuge revenue sharing money. Those will stay the same. At least that's what we think will happen. So our revenues did decrease slightly. Any questions? Okay. So the next sections on page 10 on go over each individual department. As I said earlier, each department did go through their budget, and we made some changes. They're there for your reference. I'm not going to go through these in great detail, but if you do have any questions on anything in particular, please let me know. But please note there is a 5% COLA increase across the board, and there's also a 12% increase for health care costs.
On that whole general item of the departments, I have just a quick general question. Is there a budget difference between people who can work from home and people who go to the office and work? Does it end up being a budget difference at all?
No.
And that's the reason why I asked that is it seems like in the, it's still the case that it was last year. The, out here in the region, all the employees show up at work, but in Anchorage they have an option of not showing up. But I didn't know if that was a tax of budget that we're talking about.
Okay, so if we go through, you can see all the changes here. There, yeah, I think most of this is still in line with contracts, et cetera. Education is in here, and then under other, we did remove the Sandpoint pool, which is the $500,000. I'm on page 16. One big change, I guess, this year I should mention is utilities. So utilities were in three different departments. They were in the, I believe, the finance department had utilities, the clerk's department had utilities, the maintenance department had utilities, and then there was an other utilities and other. We consolidated those and moved everything to other, so it's all in one location. Because it was getting very confusing.
I have a question here. Is that point bus bond, that doesn't fall under the school district's budget?
No. So that's been moved, and then fuel costs and a few others have increased just because those costs have gone up. Another item in other that did increase is insurance. Insurance rates have gone up. We anticipated at least going up 10%. So that went from $250,000 to $288,000. Then we have the terminal operation. It's Fund 22 on page 18. This reflects...
Michael, back to slightly. Okay. I see in this proposed, on this sheet, it's hard to follow all three of them at once, but under maintenance, we have, it's basically not funded our maintenance budget. That's going to be the case. You talk about moving it to item 900, what was it?
The utilities.
Yeah, I think the bus barn is mentioned under here, too.
The bus barn utilities were paid for out of the maintenance utility line item, so that will now be moved to the other utilities.
And so that's the Department of Maintenance budget, so we're not planning on filling that for the year? What's your status of that maintenance position?
We're still looking for someone, so I don't want to remove it from the budget at this point, so we're leaving it in.
Are we paying for that bus barn because that's maintenance?
Well, I think the bus barn's where all our stuff's stored, right?
I think when they built it, they were supposed to use it to store the bus, school bus in there. But it's never been used for that.
Okay.
So basically, we use it. We've got building material, lawnmowers. Well, you know, we do all the our maintenance stuff out of there. So all the stuff for the boilers, furnaces, paint, everything. So it's just a shop for us.
Okay.
So we're just consolidating all the utilities under one account because it's kind of hard to keep track of when they're in four different departments. So instead we'll have it under one and have record keeping.
So on page 18, I think you started going over this for the terminal. So we as the borough, we pay that full electric bill and then we bill out to those that are utilizing the terminal?
We only bill it out to FAA. The others is included in there.
Included. Okay, okay.
Yes, FAA is the only one that's not.
Okay.
And they have their own meter for the FAA space. So, yeah.
Well, I'm going back to page 16. I skipped it. I wasn't quick enough to catch up. But under Sandpoint Pool, it shows it zeroing out the budget. What does that mean?
That means it's taken out of there. We don't need it for FY24. We have other funding sources to pay for the pool.
Which means the pool. I guess I'll convert that into when does the pool open question.
That's a great question. So, no, we're working on the doors right now. We've got a contractor going out there soon to, I think we finally pinpoint where the leak is. So they're going to go out and try to fix that and then fix the gutters because the gutters cracked when the water filled in. It pulled the liner down and cracked the gutters.
Yeah, I went and looked at that skin boat, but I did go in the pool just to look around real quick. And there was nobody working at that time, but the pool was down a foot and a half
or
so.
Yeah, we were having problems.
So converting that to when the pool might be open this fall for sure at start of school day? It's too late this year, I assume.
I hope so.
I think when it opens, we should all go over there to the assembly. Ribbon cutting and have our swimwear on, and we could all.
Oh my God.
not been a fund project. So we're recommending removing it because we have other funding sources that can pay for that. We have
the deed funding, is that what you're referring
to? No, we have ARPA funding, LATCF funding. We just have other funding sources I have to spend that this project qualifies for.
But you're still, if I just ask you, it's kind of a little out of order, but you are intending to have the pool open for start of school year.
I would love to have it open by then, but I cannot promise anything. I mean, I would love to.
That's a little too vague. I would say yes would be the better answer.
Well, I don't want to say yes and then have to say no.
We were going to have it open before Christmas.
Right?
Yeah. You were.
We all were going to have that there pool open by Christmas.
But it's just one problem after another. So that got removed because we have other funding sources for it. Okay, so, I mean, yeah, going to Fund 22, that's page 18. This is just, you know, going through the actual cost of the facility. So we made adjustments accordingly. Utilities did increase greatly, just the cost of everything has increased. So we still, though, are making money off this facility, about $42,000.
The borough office switched over to Starlink now, or are you guys still on the older? On the system you had before.
Started.
Okay.
Yeah, right here. Got the code. If you want the code.
Okay,
no,
so if you go to page 19, this is the still Fund 22. It's the helicopter operations. This shows the adjustment for FY24 for the helicopter cost with Maritime. So that adjusts reflects the current agreement we're under with them. So the cost did increase by $14,681. Everything else has been adjusted accordingly to better reflect what we're actually spending. So contract labor went up. Once again, this reflects the new agreement with Maritime Helicopters, but we have been able to reduce a couple other line items slightly. So we still are running at, we're still subsidizing the operation for that. Page 20 is Fund 24.
I got a question.
Yeah.
Page 19, the salary of that $50,000, what is that actually, what are we actually paying, or who are we actually paying, or what's that?
So we have an employee that currently drives the skiff back and forth for the helicopter crew, and they also help move fuel and stuff over to the hangar. Okay, so 20 is Fund 24. This is the bond construction fund. This just shows that the fee for the APCM comes out of here. That's something that was made a budget adjustment this current fiscal year. So that's reflected here. And then Fund 30, which is the bond fund, like I said, this is now reflected in Fund 30. So any harbor bond debt revenues that we would get or reimbursements we would get would be here, and then it shows on page 21 the school bond debt, which is 50%, being shown here. So it's a $339,000. For FY24, our bond interest and bond principal does total $2.529 million. So there's an offset here, and we have to cover the rest, and that comes out of the fund, our general fund. And then there's Fund 40, which is also permanent fund. This just reflects what you guys amended this last budget amendment, and that's the other half of the payment to APCM. Now, one of the biggest changes to this budget is to Fund 41. This is the maintenance reserve account. Per our code, we are supposed to be making, or the mayor shall include in the proposed budget, a maintenance reserve account of the greater of $100,000 or an amount equal to 2.5% of the total anticipated revenues from the borough sales tax, which is our fish tax, and the state shared fish business tax. The amount shown to be deposited to the account in the annual budget finally approved by the assembly, and all interest earned on the account shall be deposited to this account. This is not something that we've done in the past. In the past, we put $100,000 in there. If we didn't spend it, it went away. And then we come back the next year and approve an additional $100,000. So what we did this year, and is what we should have been doing the past, well, we should have been doing the whole time, I suppose, since inception, is that we would take 2.5% of what we anticipated for our raw fish and shared fish tax revenue. So this year, we're anticipating $4 million in raw fish tax revenue and $1.9 million in the state shared fish business tax, totaling $5.9 million. 2.5% of this is $147,500, which is greater than the $100,000, so therefore we should be budgeting $147,500 in Fund 41. So that is something we changed this year. So if we don't spend that entire $147,000, or I guess I should back up, this money will actually, the second you guys pass the budget, we're going to put it in an AMLIC portfolio, and that's where it will stay. It'll accrue its own interest, and then over time, if we don't spend it, that money stays there, and it accrues interest simply for maintenance.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by it would just go away?
So in the past, it would just be like anything else in Fund 01. We wouldn't spend it. We start over again with a new fiscal budget. It just goes, stays in the general.
Oh, okay.
This time, this money will actually stay in this AMLIF account and accrue its own interest over time. So, for instance, let's say this year, if we had done this, and I put $150,000 into Fund 41, we would have put $150,000 in its own AMLIF portfolio because it's an easy way to keep track of the money and it accrues its own interest. So I only spend $100,000 of that. The $50,000 would remain there. The next year, this year, for instance, we have $147,000. We take that, put that in the AMLIC. Now there's $197,000 plus interest. Then we can draw off that. If we don't spend the full $147,000, say we spent $47,000, I'm just throwing random numbers, $100,000 would stay in there. That's how we should have been doing it since 1987. We have not been doing that. So this year, after reading the code and after working with Jackie and others, we've decided that we should transition into this. This will be a great way in the future to build up a maintenance account.
So when you say maintenance account, what are you specifically saying is qualified as maintenance?
So anything minor, like routine maintenance, and then so basically what we've been doing, stuff for the pool, stuff for the school, stuff for like that. If it's a huge capital project, that's different. You have to, according to the code, once the account exceeds $500,000 for capital projects, and this is like bigger projects, then we can use the money for that. There's not a limit. You guys could also put money in there just because you felt like it. Like, oh, we have $100,000 sitting here. Let's put it in the family account.
Well,
we
so like, the, like what's going on with the swimming pool, I mean, a lot of that was, I mean, exceeds way over $100,000. So we're having to put, you know, find appropriate money elsewhere.
Yeah. So this is just to follow our code. I also think over time we can build a maintenance reserve account. I mean, with some of the big changes that might be coming down the road for us, this isn't a bad thing. And it's per code. We're supposed to be doing this. So any questions on that?
Refresher. What page are we on again?
22 and 23.
Probably if we had been doing this at day one,
we would have it.
Have a huge amount.
It would be paid out of one.
Yeah.
Taking out of the general fund to do a
project. So we're just making something to where it helps try to pay for itself.
So a lot of this is basically cleaning up things that overlooked and just
getting
done. Let's start now.
Yep.
All right, so then the rest of this, I'm almost done, I promise. Page 23 goes over the permanent fund earning appropriations. As I mentioned, there's $1.788 million, which is 4% of the permanent fund distribution amount based off APCM's readings of the borough's ordinance, which is over a five-year average market value ending on 6/30. So this, like I said, will be presented to the Assembly via resolution, but there is an outline here. There's a nice little table that shows the recommendations. But what I do when we go through this is we look at our strategic plan, projects we're currently working on, and then if there's any money left over, then we look at the community budget request. This year, the recommendation is to put $200,000 to fisheries research. This has proven to be really important and will continue to be really important, so we'd like to add some money into that so we can do some additional research efforts. $600,000 for the Cold Bay Dock. This is going to be a big project, and we need to start setting money aside for that, and that's also on our strategic plan. Deferred maintenance, always an issue, always can use money, so there's $350,000 for that. Project contingency, this has also proven to be an extremely valuable account. There's just things I cannot anticipate now that happens throughout the year, and this money has been super helpful to complete those projects. Then we roll into the community budget request. So it shows what I'm recommending here, but if you do go further into the thing, there's a memo specifically on community budget requests. This has been an annual thing we've done. We send out the documents to the communities in January. They're due in March, and they all ask for some money. We did receive $758,000 worth of requests. I'm not recommending giving that much money. What I am recommending is giving $100,000 to five of the communities that asked for either $100,000 or more, and then $35,000 to Nelson Lagoon, which is what they requested. And I am happy that they requested something that's the first time they have since the inception of this program. So,
I think this is good, too, but I think over the past years, I think there's been times where we weren't able to give money to each of the communities, and I like seeing this year that we're giving money to, and a significant amount. I mean, yeah.
Okay, this amount on page 23, $1,788,334.18, because it's a five-year average, this number should be pretty close.
This number is the number.
Yeah, and so the question would be, if it, say at the next meeting, when we have second reading of this ordinance, besides you having a version of how you're going to distribute the money, it's perfectly appropriate for the assembly, after they look at these options and have their own idea of how to prioritize funding, that they pass a prioritization also. Is that possible, you say?
Well, you can amend it.
I mean, it's something that could be done.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be inappropriate.
No, it's up to you as an assembly.
So you can amend this.
Give away. You could take and just, like we used to do, we'd find a couple of big projects and we'd fund all of them and nobody else would get any money for that year. And then the next year you do a couple more. You could do it that way. Or you can cut out whatever you want. And if it passes, that's the way we'll operate. But this is basically what we're saying we think would be the best way to do it. If you have a different way as an assembly to spend it, then amend this at the next meeting.
And I would actually amend the resolution, because this will be reflected in the resolution.
And that will be at next meeting.
Yeah.
And so, for instance, just a quick theoretical, if some of the assembly members look at it and say, well, let's put a number 1 through 10 on these, or whatever number there is, and prioritize them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and they could just sort them accordingly, too, I suppose. That would be a slightly different way of prioritizing what could be sent without changing the suggested amounts as they became available. The money is available.
Well, the money is available.
And, well,
that's
and
the thing.
And the projects are ready.
Well,
you could use that, too, I suppose.
Well, I think there's some confusion, because all this money then gets, so all these appropriations will then go into Fund 20. And that's reflected in your financials. You can see that in your financials. So all these designations would go into Fund 20. So, for instance, if we added another $200,000 to the fisheries line item, it would go into the fisheries line item in our in the financial account, which is, I can't find my finance, 22-something, yeah. So it would go in here. So the money's here once you appropriate it. The thing is you don't have to appropriate this money. This money can stay in the permanent fund. You don't have to pull it out. You don't have to appropriate it. You can leave it. It's up to you guys. But I think right now we're in a good fiscal situation where we can pull it out and we can apply it to these projects. You don't have to do what I'm suggesting. I'm just looking at the strategic plan and projects that we're currently working on that I know we're going to need money for, and maintenance and stuff that we have to do. So, but you can change that. I would just recommend you do it you can tell me now, and I can change it in the resolution now, or you can make an amendment at the May 18th meeting.
One final comment on following up on that is, I know I would be looking, I'm not going to do it now, but I would be looking at health and safety issues as a higher priority than items that aren't health and safety.
Can you give me an example?
No.
You're just talking about prioritizing the requests, right?
Yes.
The assembly looking at this saying, whole day is number one. Number two.
Or whatever they think, yeah.
Yeah.
They could. I think they could if the assembly wants to, or not.
I mean, we're talking about funding all of those.
But there's not enough money to fund all of them,
yeah.
Of course.
No,
we do.
What is here, when you guys approve it, this money is already there. So if you say,
right here, Paul, right there. That's everything that's proposed, and it equals to that number.
So that money's there. So if you just, I don't care how you want to, if you don't want to change numbers, but you want to change priority of how they're listed there, it doesn't make any difference. They're all going to be funded once you pass it. Money is there. It's in the
Because they don't know how much money they've gotten set aside and things. And this, I mean, like we have talked about in the past, a lot of times the two larger communities get funded for larger projects. Everybody else doesn't. This gives the fairness of $100,000 to everybody, and I think that's nice.
Well, and the other thing Annie brought up, too, was, you know, when the borough was formed, we didn't have a lot of extra money, so that's what we did. We sat at the table as assembly members, and if we had, say, we had $500,000 for a project, but we only had $300,000 to spend, all the assembly members would get together and say, well, these are the two top ones that we should do. We would fund them, and then the other ones would go on the list, and then the next year, if we had more money, and then as the borough got more money, this just became something that we were doing. But there's nothing in any of our rules or regulations saying we have to fund any of it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This year is kind of a unique year because I think last year we weren't able to fund all of the requests that the communities were bringing forward. And this year, we're able to, and I mean, I understand what Paul's saying, but I think we've got to be careful that we don't, you know, say that somebody's is more important than somebody else's. I mean, you know, of course, we all know the Cold Bay dock is pretty important. I mean, you know, but, I mean, the money's there, like you said, so I don't see where we really have to be, you know, really scrutinizing this. I mean,
You don't have to scrutinize the list here the way it's listed. But if you want to scrutinize the dollars and say, well, I really think this one should have $200,000 and this one should only have $20,000, if you want to do something like that, that's basically up to all of you to do. Paul?
Yeah, just Annie, I'll kind of answer Annie's question. You brought up Cold Bay again. I know one thing that I think is important is that Cold Bay water, they're still flying in water.
Yeah.
And if we could share with the city of Cold Bay a drill truck on the ferry, if we could do that, that would be, I think,
well,
they can't.
So I'm going to have to repeat myself on that project. We can't just send a drill over and dig a well. But, like you even heard Lori from the city of Cold Bay talk about, there's so much other contamination in that community. We can't just put it over. And then you've got DEC regulations.
Yeah.
State regulations, federal regulations, it's not something we can just ship a drill over and dig. They're working on a solution.
Well, it's fine. If you don't want good water for Cold Bay, that's fine.
That is not what I'm saying. That is not what I'm saying.
There's regulations. You start digging into that soil, then we're responsible for what we're bringing up in that soil.
Yeah.
And yeah.
The states are told us not to get
dig,
in the middle of this. They're figuring it out. So there's no way, I mean, we haven't been asked by the city of Cold Bay to go over there and drill a well, and the state told us not to get in the middle of it and not do it. So, and I don't even know where you would drill a well. You know, we don't have any of the expertise to go over there and do it.
No.
It has to be permits. The state has to agree to it. If at some point this thing gets settled and they say, hey, we're going to need an extra amount of dollars to get this done for the community, I think as an assembly, we would figure out a way to do it. But right now, sending something over there is not going to do anybody.
Well, I think what Paul is saying, too, is, you know, as a borough, you know, and I think we are seriously worried about the water situation over there. But like Annie said, you know, there's regulations that we have to abide by, and sure, it'd be nice to send something over there and start drilling some stuff, but it's not allowed. I mean,
Legal. There's lots of legal issues and permits and.
Okay. I mean, it's not saying that the water problem over there. We're just kind of, well, it's their problem. I mean, no,
we're working on it, and we got someone now that we're working. Hopefully, working with that. They're going to come up with a solution to treat the water, and there was a guy there working with the DOT that was, he's an expert in that field. And so he got in and
No, I think any of our communities that have a problem with water, we're really concerned about it, but you have to wait till you have the proper authority to do it. And I think everybody at the table knows that. And there's other communities that are close to Air Force bases and big runways and stuff. There's people that have been trying to figure out their water systems for over 5 years. And they're still working on it. But I think when the time comes and they request help, I think that's the time we need to do it before.
So the state was responsible for the PFAS. PFAS in the water, you're not going to get rid of it. I don't even know if you can choke it.
You can't.
Well,
you can't boil it.
But they came up with, there's some kind of little bead.
There is
marble. Yeah, and it sticks to the beads, and then they can clean the beads off or something.
Yeah, that's what they're looking at.
Yeah.
Because there's, from what I understand, there's no other contaminants in their water source. It's just the PFAS.
So now they switched over to a different type of delivery of water, bigger.
Yeah, we're getting the big 5-gallon jug.
Okay.
And we got,
and those are being flown in?
No, they're barging in.
Oh, barging, okay.
They come in like once a month or twice a month.
Okay.
Whenever, however many we need.
Okay.
I mean, and they still do the bottled water, the big 5-gallon, and then also a gallon jug.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did it come from Tumwater?
When we get these guys to put the fiber over there, we get a road over there, and a water line will go over there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Water truck.
Put water truck. Good water. Picking right in the valley over there.
Well, like, if we can go back to the military. When I was in the military, we had those big water tanks that we'd pull behind us when we'd be out in the field or something.
Can I get some, speaking of water, I'm certain.
PFAS thing you're talking about, you know, I mean, somebody finally checked for it and found it, so God knows how long it's been there. You know, and I worry about it. I lived there for a period of years, you know, and it's like, so how much of that did I ingest?
Well, there you go. That's
it.
Yeah.
You know, and then I've been living there 23 years. I don't like chlorine. I never liked the taste of chlorine. So I'm always drinking bottled water, and Matthew has always given me crap about it. Our water's perfectly fine. Why are you drinking that bottled water? He always tells me, you know. I order mine from Amazon, the big gallon.
Okay, we're getting way off.
Anyway,
yeah,
okay.
No.
So if I'll go back to the budget. So the permanent fund earning appropriations, you guys can make suggestions. I'm happy to take them now. This isn't part of any of the, it's not anything you're approving, but I can adjust the resolution at this point if there's something you'd like to change, or you guys can make the adjustment at the May 18th meeting. So just let me know.
Just hey, one quick question on the appropriations of $100,000 that you have in there. The request that you've gotten,
they totaled more than that. So they're on the next page. So there was,
how close did it come to?
So a few of them asked for 194, 166, 113, and I just rounded them all to 100, so it'd be fair across the board. And then Nelson Lagoon only asked for 35, so it's an unfair full amount.
I just seen how close it came to. And that's something that we've done in the past anyway, right? We've fund some projects.
Yeah, we've done it in the past.
I mean,
not every
time. Not nothing new. It's just.
Last year, I don't think we funded any of them, but one community had money that was already funded to them in another project that they didn't need, and we moved it into the one that they requested.
Yeah.
But that was the only one last year. Thanks.
I'll pass.
So what about the 65, if you're giving $100,000 to all the other communities that were over, what about the 65 that would have went to Nelson Lagoon, like, split it up to the ones that...
You can do that, just take it up to something else, but they only asked for 35, so that's what I put in this. Two of the communities, Sandpoint, King Cove, asked for $100,000, Acatan and Colby asked for more, and Paul Staff asked for more.
On one of the items, I was wondering if Jordan, I thought they already had money for that landfill incinerator, had a new one coming. If he was still there, maybe he could answer that question. He's not going to be there much longer, that's why I'm...
Jordan, are you still on here?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. So the original request was for the incinerator. I believe the requests were due sometime in February or January. In the interim, the city did receive funding outside for a new incinerator, and we have shifted the request to a new trash truck. So I think that's reflected in the meat of the actual application.
Oh, I must have missed that. So it would go to a trash truck instead.
Yeah, which they really need. They're using a front end loader and a dump truck with that.
So, yeah, in the project description.
Yeah, I got a question.
One day.
The fault path, fuel, is that for the powerhouse or is that for selling fuel to the residents?
The community fuel moved up.
It says, with severely inflated fuel costs, the city had only purchased about half the amount of fuel in FY23 than the average previous years. City purchased approximately 28,000 gallons of fuel in July 2022. They need to purchase more very soon. These funds would allow for the city to top off its tanks, purchasing approximately 43,000 gallons of fuel.
Will they in turn sell that power, and then that's supposed to pay for the fuel? So we're subsidizing their fuel?
I would have to ask Nikki. I don't know.
Right. It seems like that's... Well, I don't know. We buy fuel for the community powerhouses now, at least part of it. It's kind of wondering if I could write a project for infrastructure, just giving the money so their powerhouse can run, and they in turn sell that power to pay for the fuel, and they got a shortfall with it. I don't know if we should.
What you can have with
no hard for that. So which one are you doing for Fall Path? Because there's two for Fall Path.
I just did $100,000 for the fuel.
Oh, okay.
I didn't do the other one on my recommendation anyway. Okay. I can ask Nikki. I don't know the answer to that one.
Yeah, that I don't know. Well, I was saying, as an assembly, though, you could make it. It's not things for resale, but you could make it projects or equipment type of thing. That's normally what we do.
Yeah, but as far as for fuel, I know that next year, so if the city of King Cove comes under some distress where we need $100,000 worth of fuel to top off our tanks because the price is up. I don't know, it seems like they should have adjusted for that already because it's a profit-making business, really. When they have their own utility. If that's what it's for, I don't know, are they selling this fuel to people or just,
I don't know.
It's for their utility or what is it
it's
for?
It's for their just regular, it just says fuel.
It's community fuel, yeah. I think that's what I think they got a generator over there. It's for.
Well, look at it this way. What if they wanted a new generator and they wanted $100,000 from us to help from the generator. Would that be okay? Because they're going to use that generator to...
Yeah, to generate power, but it seems like the fuel part of it is... I don't know, maybe it just goes up in smoke or something.
I understand what you're saying. I mean, yeah.
Because they want to top off their tanks, right?
All the price is lower or something.
So is that going to be fuel that... Do the local people buy fuel from their city for their boat? You know, anybody.
Say that again?
So do any of the local folks buy fuel from the city?
I think, doesn't the city in Falls Pass own the fuel storage tank?
I don't know whatever happened to that after Peter Pan pulled out of that.
I think the city owns it.
I thought a Pitka owned it.
That's what I thought, too.
What?
I thought a Pitka.
Okay. I don't know. We could find out.
We'll ask.
But, you know, between now and the next week, that may be something we want to think about.
I think
about.
The city has the option, but a Pitka, yeah.
Do we just do projects or... equipment type of thing.
Yeah.
Because that is a good question Warren brought up. It's like, are we going to start buying
fuel?
And that might not be something we want to go, we may not want to go down that road. Just like he said, you know, well, next year maybe King Cove needs a couple $100,000 for that fuel. It could get us.
No, it's a good question to bring up. Yeah. I mean, you know, we're...
So we can find out.
Because when
and get it in the packet for the next one.
Because if they're going to top off fuel, it'll be right before summer, then there'll be all the boats over there, and when they come in and get fuel, they sell fuel to all the boats. So it's not...
But I think the fuel is owned by a Pitka. I think they, yeah, the city, I don't think...
I thought so, too.
Yeah.
We'll find out and get the information in the packet. Or get it mailed.
You find information, there's a fuel glut in the world, and prices coming down. Today, anyway. So, might hold off a couple months.
All right, so the last two items on the budget is the ordinance itself, which big thanks to Jackie for updating all the spreadsheets and everything. So, we've got that there, and then the final one is the Excel spreadsheet itself that shows everything in great detail with the FY23 budget as currently written, the proposed changes, and the proposed FY24 budget. So ultimately, it has a surplus, which is fantastic. And if there are any things you'd like to change now, we could make a motion and change those, or we can wait until the next meeting.
I kind of lost track. Is there a motion on the floor on this item already?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would suggest that we just hold off to the next week so people can read through things a little bit more and write the additional info and get some insights. I think would be more appropriate to sure if we have some tweaks. If the assembly has some tweaks they want to do, next reading would probably be more time efficient. Thank you.
Yeah, and the next, I mean, if you adopt this now, what you need to do so we can have the second reading at the next meeting, then it would be by amendment, you know, change or add by amendment or subtract, whatever you know. Like we normally do.
Just kind of amend it.
Yeah. So other questions? Are you all done with it?
Commodity.
You sure you know the commodity?
Nope, I'm good. I'm done.
Okay, any last go-around? Any more questions on the budget from anybody?
Thank you for all that hard work.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's very clear what
you're talking about. No thing until we pass it the second time.
Okay. Call a question on motion to schedule for May 18th for public hearing.
Warren?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Becca?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
James?
Yes.
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 All these trees are killed over here.
Okay, thank you. So we don't have any old business, no new business. So our next item on the agenda is an executive session to do the borough clerk's performance evaluation.
And this is going to be done in an executive session. Paul?
I just have a question. It's not on evaluation of the personnel, it's just procedure before we go into executive session. And it's appropriate for public discussion. I just a couple of quick questions to clarify, because I don't think it would qualify.
It has nothing to do with the person?
Oh, okay. The question is, by ordinance, I don't have a copy. I couldn't get a copy before I came over here. Who does the clerk report to by ordinance?
The assembly. Remember, when I came aboard, one said it reports to the mayor and one said reports to the assembly, and we struck the report to the mayor out of it, so she works for the assembly.
Yeah. I need to get a copy. Maybe I can get a copy.
That's the only employee that we have control over.
But I lost control of it. I lost control. How many employees did we have? How many applicants did we have when we hired a clerk? I lost track of that, too.
If I remember correctly, there were three.
Yeah. But you just recommended one. You recommended one, I believe. Minutes probably show that. But I don't remember going through as an assembly to pick a candidate from the three. I don't remember doing that. Maybe the minutes, maybe I wasn't even at that.
I think the way it's written is the borough administration or mayor selects the candidate, the assembly approves. Once she's approved, she then works for the assembly.
Yeah. Oh, so the administration picked the candidate. Yeah, that's how I kind of remember it.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I'm just clarifying a couple things for the public control. Thank you.
So now that we have a quorum right here in the room, right? Because we don't do executive sessions over the phone. So it's going to be done by those of you that are here in person. And then the only things we have on that is assembly comments, public comments. So if we want, before we do this, do we have any public comments on anything? Because they may want to leave once we stop for a second.
And just to clarify things, when we get to the motion, the clerk would be invited to an evaluation. Our employees always...
She's here.
I know, but can't be at the meeting.
So for the executive session, what I'm recommending is we'll break into an executive session. It says who would be invited, and it would be the assembly, the advisory, the clerk, Alvin, and myself. And then we conduct the executive session. Once the executive session is closed, you come back and say no action is taken. That's what you would say. Because you can't make any motions or decisions during executive session.
Well, it's kind of a follow-up question. If the assembly is evaluating the clerk, why should we invite the mayor and administrator also?
You don't have to.
You don't have to. Either tell us to go away.
Okay, just stop.
If you want. But you have to keep the rest of the assembly. You can't.
So you need a motion?
Yes.
I make a motion to move into executive session to discuss and review the performance of the borough clerk on people to invite the assembly advisory, Beverly, Alvin, and
I second it.
Okay. So without further ado, we're going to go into executive session, and we are going to disconnect from the...
Just probably a two-minute recess here.
So, you guys, we're just going to go on mute here. Until we come back in.